Monday morning and co-hosting once again Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a little tired this weekend.
Well, I think we all might have lost a little sleep last night watching the Chicago Bears.
What a game.
Wow. Holy mackerel. 29-13.
And they tried to call it an upset.
Don't tell that to Brian Urlacher.
Amen.
He was not pleased after the game. Here's an interesting point. I think it's the first time in the history of Chicago that in September, the Bears in first place, White Sox in first place, and Cubs in first place. It's never happened before. If I'm wrong, 312-751-1979, but I think we have a first place for all three ever. But
the end of the world be coming around the corner. Do you remember, Greg, when the Bears held training camp at Niles College Seminary?
Sure. In fact, I was before my time, but Father Martin Winters remembers talking with Dick Butkus on the sidelines, and he said the guy was part human, part animal. But great. But listen, we better get to our show. But yeah, it used to be Niles College Seminary, Harlan
yes.
Tui.
Amen.
The Bears preseason for a couple of years.
Yep.
Being Catholic schools today, we're not going to talk about Bears and football or the White Sox and the Cubs, but Ryan Blackburn is saying we'll maybe go for it. As, we're going to talk about, first segment, Hispanic Heritage Month kicks off on September 15th here in the Archdiocese of Chicago and even beyond. And joining discussion on celebrating Hispanic heritage will be principals from schools in the Little Village and Pilsen neighborhoods of Chicago. So with us in studio, we have Matthew Bannock, principal of St. Agnes of Bohemia School here in Chicago. And with us in studio, Nancy Nasco, principal of St. Pius V School. To Matthew and Nancy, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. Now, first of all, Hispanic Heritage Month kicks off a week from today. Matthew, this is your second year as principal of St. Agnes of Bohemia. What do you plan to do? What are the plans on deck for your school?
At St. Agnes of Bohemia, we take Hispanic Heritage Month really seriously, but we also look at the Hispanic heritage throughout the entire year. When you look at the statistics, according to the USCCB, over 50% of Catholics under the age of 25 are Hispanic. And so it's very important that as our school, we look at how to integrate the faith with the culture that our students have. And so for Hispanic Heritage Month, we're doing several things. Number one, we're starting Spanish classes where we're integrating both the Spanish language and Spanish culture with our students this year. Secondly, we do have Hispanic Heritage Month's performances where our students perform different folk tales, songs, and skits and different things based on the Hispanic culture that they have. That's going to be on October 3rd at about 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. in our gym. And then also the parade for Hispanic Heritage Month is next Sunday. Before that, at 8 a.m., we're having a 5K race to kind of get our name out there as a school and to kind of promote health awareness in our community.
Are you part
of
the 5K race?
I will be, yes. We always invite the students to try to beat us, but it doesn't usually happen that often. So
Matthew's taking a challenge. Nancy, what's happening at your school at St. Pius V?
In the Pilsen community, we're fortunate enough to have the National Museum of Mexican Art right down the block. So some of our students are going to be going over there to see the Mexicanidad exhibit. There are lots and lots of murals in the community, so we'll be taking some field trips just walking around the neighborhood itself. As far as curriculum goes, our seventh grade always does a unit on Hispanic heritage. So in social studies class every day, they're going to be working on that. And then the younger kids will be doing geography classes. As Matt said, we'll be having the kids write poetry, perform poetry. Music class, the kids will be learning songs in Spanish in addition to the ones they already know, and maybe making instruments.
Tell us a little bit about your student populations. Are they primarily Hispanic? Do you have a mixture of different nationalities? Are they bilingual? Give us a little bit of their profile.
We have about 470 students. We are one of the largest Hispanic schools in the Archdiocese. Our school is about 99% Hispanic.
And a total population of 470. Is that kindergarten through 8th grade, Matthew?
Pre-K through 8th grade.
Pre-K through 8th grade. How about over at your place, Nancy?
We have 236 students, pre-K through 8th, one of every classroom. And we are about 96-97% Hispanic. And the remainder, I would say, would be multiracial.
So at home, are they primarily speaking Spanish? And so are these kids fully bilingual, or are some just learning English? Do you have immigrant children who are just learning the language? What's that situation like?
We have about 40 to 50% of the students who primarily speak Spanish in their house. Other students, a lot of them are bilingual, where they speak both languages in the house, depending on which generation. Like grandparents, a lot of times will speak Spanish. We do have about 52, 53% Title III students. Title III is the language funding for English language learners from the federal government.
So, Matthew, would you say for not the school children, but for their immediate parents or mom and dad, what would it be regarding English, Spanish? Would you say that maybe half can speak English, or most of the parents speak only Spanish, or most of the parents bilingual? What's been your experience?
About 40 to 50% only speak Spanish, and then some are bilingual for that.
So. How about Nancy at St. Pius?
Our statistics would be pretty close, I would say. You know, we send everything home to parents in both English and Spanish. And although I'd say 50% of our parents are definitely more comfortable in Spanish. Although our curriculum is all in English, we encourage the children to speak both languages on the playground. We try to encourage them to continue, to speak Spanish, never ever to lose that language, because, mm-hmm. Years ago it was English only. And then many, many children grew up, speaking Spanish, and then when they got to school, they were told not to speak Spanish at all, and then they lost their part of their culture. So we're trying to encourage pride in the culture. And
so all the kids do speak English, though?
They do. Last year we had a little girl who was newly arrived. That happens sometimes. We'll have children that come.
But, children pick up the language so easily.
Absolutely.
It's harder as you get older.
Exactly.
But a lot easier. Let me ask you, we hear always about Little Village, Pilsen neighborhoods. I mean, in Chicago area, even suburbs, you hear about Little Village, Pilsen. When you talk about Little Village or Pilsen, what makes it the neighborhood that it is? So you hear about Little Village, you hear about Pilsen. Speak to the neighborhood.
Well, Pilsen is an interesting area. It used to be the port of entry for immigrants. So, the area was built by Lithuanian, Polish, Irish, German immigrants. And then over the years, as more families arrived from Mexico, then we started having the Spanish language masses in the community. When I first moved to Pilsen many, many years ago.
But you're only 29, Nancy.
God love you, Father. God love you. Really and truly, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday. You'd go to the neighborhood and you didn't have to speak English. So if you, like the grocery in the neighborhood, or you went to the drugstore, nobody spoke English. Now it's the neighborhood is changing. I think that there is definitely the Hispanic influence there. But it's also an artist community. You have kids from the University of Illinois who are also living in the community.
You have beautiful murals in that area.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Tremendous.
Murals.
I mean, great, great artists. How about Little Village?
It's pretty much about the same thing. It used to be, our parish used to be a Czechoslovakian parish, and about 1980s is when it started moving over to the Mexican, mostly Mexican, but Hispanic population. And it is kind of a port of entry as well. And now, on Sundays, we have so many people coming to Mass. There's 9 Masses on Sunday at our parish and over 700 baptisms a year. So it's just
so
grown tremendously.
9 Masses every weekend and over 700 baptisms per year.
That's correct.
Wow.
Well, we're going to move to a break now, but we're going to come back and continue our conversation about Spanish Heritage Month within our Catholic schools. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be right back.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged, If you can help, visit our website at CatholicCharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North of Sal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith.
That was a great commercial.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Wow.
I love that announcer.
I love the background music. I love that announcer. Wow.
But we need to pull those till next spring. The program just got on the way. That's why I'm tired. I just did the opening retreat for the Called and Gifted program this past weekend.
Nugget. Michael, take those commercials out.
Yank them. We've run out of funding. We can't pay you anymore. We've been talking about Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're talking with the principals of two of our Catholic schools, with Matthew Bannock, who's the principal of St. Agnes of Bohemia School, a very large, the largest Hispanic school in the city, and Nancy Nanko, principal of St. Pius V School. Matthew, Nancy, we have about 20% of the student population within the Archdiocese who are Hispanic, about 17,000 students. Hispanic Heritage Month is obviously an important part of life at each of your schools. What difference does it make if you were to skip that event? How would it change the experience of the year for your students?
Well, I think the children at St. Pius, I know, definitely see this celebration as a source of pride. You know, I think a lot of times on television, sometimes the images that are portrayed for Latinos, Hispanics, they're not always positive. You know, they're...
That's very true.
Some of the roles, you know, it's the whole drug lord, mm-hmm. or, you know, I remember when I was growing up, you know, the stereotypical... you know, negative image was out there. So I think our children, you know, especially, they're very, very proud of the countries where they come from. We have children
now. What are some of those countries they come from? Be real specific. Of course, Mexico.
Mexico, and then, of course, Puerto Rico. We've got children from Guatemala, Argentina, El Salvador, Honduras.
And do they all come together pretty well?
They do. They do. So I think during Hispanic Heritage Month, we're not only celebrating Mexican Independence Day, but we're also celebrating the day before Central American Independence. So one of the things the kids at our school are going to do is they're going to be able to come on one of the days dressed in either native dress or in the colors of the flags of the countries where they come from. So I think it's a source of...
I like what you pride.
Pride and raising self-esteem, because I think when children are proud of themselves and learn about each other's cultures, it just makes the world a better place.
I think that's a piece that we sometimes forget, that there is this amazing diversity within the Hispanic population. We tend to think that Hispanics are Puerto Rican or Mexican, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but they're Cubans, right. as you said, exactly. from all the nations of South America. And for them, it makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm a Cubano versus right. a Mexicano,
right.
you can't look at me as the same way, just like as an Italian being from northern Italy versus being from southern Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone thinks Italians are Italians. Well, we are, but there's also a cultural difference. Identity that mm-hmm. comes with being from one part of a country to another, northerner here in the U.S. versus southerner. So to lump people of Hispanic background all together as if, you know, they have the same interests or the same culture or the same tastes in music is really unfair.
And Nancy, I like that word you use, pride. They take pride. Matthew, what difference would it make at St. Agnes of Bohemia if you were to cancel Hispanic Heritage Month?
I think similar. The students take a lot of pride in what they do and in their culture, and they like sharing it with other people. And so it's just a sense of pride that they have that they can do that. But we also try to put Hispanic heritage throughout the calendar year with things like Our Lady of Guadalupe in December and Dia de los Muertos in November, and just trying to influx that culture with faith, to teach them as like the church is, it's a universal church that we can bring them in and help share that faith with them through their culture.
Any particular story that comes to your mind? I know, Matthew, this is your second year as principal, and Nancy, you've been there since 1996, so really starting your 13th year. Any story that you can recollect from a child regarding Hispanic Heritage Month? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but does any story come to mind about a third grader, a first grader, an eighth grader? Nancy?
Well, I remember a couple of years ago we had a parade just around the block, and I remember a third grader, as a matter of fact, just waving this Mexican flag and smiling and just, you know, the source of pride and saying not only Viva Mexico, you know, but Viva St. Pius, Viva the United States of America. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was just...
just beaming in that child's smile and eyes.
Right. And what was also lovely was the reaction of all the teachers. Mm. So, you know, Gratz, when you were talking about... you know, how important it was to recognize the different music and the different cultural gifts, I think, that all the countries offer. I think it's really important for the archdiocese and for, on the local level, the teachers, because a lot of times, you know, not all of our teachers are Hispanic. So when they're able to learn about the culture of the children that they teach, I think it makes them all the more rich.
You know, we talked about the a story from Nancy. Maybe let me ask you this beside a story, Matthew, and that is, as much as the children get into it, what has been the reaction of parents? Are they present? Do they support this?
Parents are very supportive of it. They come to our activities, the Hispanic Heritage Month performances we've been doing for about 5 years now, and there's always a lot of parents there, and they always, same thing, the pride is just there, watching their children learn about their culture and performing these different activities and skits and performances. So there is a lot of parent participation, and they want to be involved in the school. That's one thing that's great about our parents in general, is that they want to be involved with education in our children's lives. And so it's just very, just as a school, it's very helpful and it's very encouraging to see such involvement with the parents. Even though they're working 2-3 jobs, mm-hmm. they still find time to come and participate with the school.
I don't know that your schools would have any direct involvement in this, and this might be a little trickier question, but what about the language gap, particularly with the parents? I'm very glad that I held on to my first language, Italian, but I also saw that as I grew older and my facility with Italian lessened, mm-hmm. that it became a little more difficult to communicate even with my own parents. And I saw the handicap that my parents experienced in not having the facility with English that I had or that, you know, some of their neighbors had. Are there any efforts to help the parents, you know, through ESL classes, English as a second language, either within the community or through the schools, so that kids and parents can continue to communicate and so that parents can interact with the larger culture, not just within their own Hispanic culture?
Yeah, absolutely. We at St. Pius, and I think almost all of the neighboring parishes, offer English as second language courses for the parents and members of the community. So there probably isn't a day at our school that the classrooms aren't being used, either for parenting classes to help bridge the cultural gap or for English classes, you know. So in addition to the regular baptism and pre-Cana
courses. So really,
there's
a really working That's together great. Of children and parents. We need to bring this segment to a close, but before closing, Matthew, give us a number for the school and a website.
The phone number to the school is 773-522-0143, and our website is school.stagnesofbohemia.org.
And Nancy, the same at St. Pius V?
The phone number is 312-226-1590, and our website is www.saint, spelled out, PiusV.org.
P-I-U-S.
Right.
Fifth. We'd like to thank in a very special way Matthew Bannock, the principal of St. Agnes of Bohemia School, and Nancy Nasco, principal of St. Pius V School, for being with us on the segment that's been involving Hispanic Heritage Month, which kicks off 1 week from today. Stay with us. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Do not touch that dial.
September is Hunger Awareness Month, and Catholic Charities has many rewarding opportunities for you to get involved. Did you know that despite our community's abundant food, many families, including children, live in hunger? I'm Father Mike Boland of Catholic Charities, asking for your support. Organize a food drive at your parish or at your child's school. Walk in our 5th annual Mary Jane Murphy Memorial Hunger Walk on September 30th. Visit our website to make a $20 donation, and we'll send you an eco-friendly Catholic Charities reusable grocery sack. For more information, go to catholiccharities.net/hunger or call 312-655-7315. That's catholiccharities.net/hunger or 312-655-7315. Thank you for helping Catholic Charities in our fight against hunger. You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George leads a group of Chicago-area faithful on a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in France. We have highlights of that journey. World Youth Day is celebrated in Sydney, Australia, as well as here in Chicago at St. Hyacinth Basilica. We'll take you to both celebrations. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at Relevant Radio, bridging the gap between faith and everyday life.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is exactly up on 9:23 on this beautiful Monday morning. We celebrate the feast of September 8th of the birth of Mary at Masses this morning. And with us for segment number two, we have Seton Academy of South Holland has launched its technology partnership program with Catholic elementary schools. And beginning this year, Seton Academy is partnering with St. Sabina Academy on Chicago's South Side to provide each classroom teacher with a laptop, computer, technology, professional development training. And St. Sabina will also receive an LCD projector. So with us in studio, we have Roberto Torres, president of Seton Academy, and Helen Dumas, principal of St. Sabina Academy. Roberto and Helen, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Now, let me maybe ask Roberto, as the president of Seton Academy, how did this partnership with St. Sabina's and other schools, when did this all begin?
Well, the idea began during the summer, roughly at the end of May.
Of this year?
Of this year. And it was my wish that we accelerated the process in terms of how this went. A couple years ago, Seton Academy began its one-to-one laptop program. And the thought was that as students graduated, they would purchase laptops, the laptops, you know, that they used. Well, we were finding that students were not purchasing the laptops, and what we were having were the surplus of laptops that were sitting, you know, in our school. And in talking with the rest of the administrative team, you know, we felt that it was, you know, not a good thing to have these laptops not being used when so many other places could use them. So we came up with this idea of adopting or partnering with an elementary school, and you know, trying to, you know, bridge the digital divide, trying to make sure that there were, you know, the integration of technology in the curriculum across the board. You know, we try to do that at Seton Academy with our laptop program, and we wanted to help, you know, a Catholic elementary school do the same thing. Now, how St. Sabina came up was, well, that's my parish.
I was just going to say, that would have been my question. How did St. Sabina be the lucky winner? That's your parish.
Yes, it's my parish. Well, okay. But aside from being my parish, I mean, St. Sabina Academy stands out on its own. I mean, it's accomplishments as an educational institution precedes it. It's a wonderful institution, and we definitely wanted to partner with a school that's doing great things in the classroom.
Now, I missed what you said at the very beginning. Where did the laptops first come from?
Well, our laptop initiative, we started that about 2 years ago, and it's a one-to-one laptop program where every student at Seton Academy receives a laptop. And
so the school purchases them?
Yes.
Okay.
And the students use them, and their books are all electronic, and they're on the laptop. And it's a wonderful program. It really does integrate the technology, and it gives the teachers an extra tool in the classroom.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Seton Academy story? Because it's a unique situation, right?
It is.
Before, it was sponsored by a religious community. Now it's a freestanding school, but still Catholic,
yes,
and affiliated with the Archdiocese. Tell us a little bit about how that transition came about.
Okay, well, the school was started in 1963 by the Daughters of Charity in Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, for when it first began, it was for an all-girls school. And the school's population waned, you know, as time went on. And in the mid-80s, the sisters realized that they could no longer afford to maintain the school, maintain sponsorship of the school. So they gave sponsorship over to the Archdiocese in 1987, and the school's name changed from Elizabeth Seton High School to Seton Academy. And the first administrative team was led by Dr. Roberta Felker, and she did a wonderful job in terms of the transition and trying to make sure that, you know, despite the name change, that the alums knew and understood that it was still Elizabeth Seton High School, and the tradition and excellence in education still continued. There have been some changes, and I know that the population has, you know, ebbed and flowed, continued to do that. But
what's the population today, Roberto?
We're at 400 students.
At 400.
And you're now co-ed.
Yes, we're now co-ed. We went co-ed in 2003.
Now, as a parishioner at St. Sabina's, then did you, Roberto, give Helen a call? Helen, you received the call, and take it from there.
Wow, when I received the call, I was just excited and overwhelmed. Actually, in the book of Habakkuk, it says to write the vision and make it plain. And we had written out a goal for our technology program. So through E-rate funding and individual donors, our building has been wired for wireless internet, the whole building, all three floors, over the past 4 years. And last year, we entered into another program, and the goal was we added additional wireless internet access points, had the building rewired again, and have three computers in every classroom plus a computer lab. So the next step was to get Promethean active boards for some of the classrooms and to get laptops for all the teachers. We have been using our title funds to get two or three laptops here and there where the teachers could check them out. But the next goal was for all the teachers to have laptops. So when Roberto called me, I was like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, like pennies from heaven.
Now, how does this technology help in the educational environment? In what ways might these teachers utilize the laptops? How do these Promethean boards help the students?
Well, students today are very different from students when I first walked into a classroom as a teacher.
My day was
41 years ago.
Holy
41
mackerel.
Years ago when I walked into a classroom, when I was in high school, there were no computers. You know, we did typewriters. So students today
are
so...
Remember also the whiteout?
Right.
The whiteout with all the errors? Man, I lived up with whiteout. You know, always making erasures.
Students today are just fast-paced. I mean, technology is what's happening. Some of our teachers are advanced. We did go through the 21st Century Learning Teacher Program with the podcast training and the internet training for teachers. But if everybody doesn't have a laptop or a computer to work on, if you don't practice and you don't use it, you know, the training is no good.
You know, you don't use it, you lose it. And we're going to go to break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our guests are Roberto Torres, president of Seton Academy, and Helen Dumas, principal of St. Sabine Academy. 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
What have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, co-hosting with the regular anchor, Father Greg Sackwitz. And Chicago is celebrating today a Bears victory last night. Celebrating today the Feast of Our Blessed Mother. How wonderful that we can go through the year with reminders of the great men and women who've gone before us in faith, and to have the Blessed Mother as one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. We're truly fortunate. We're also very fortunate in this archdiocese to be so diverse. We just got through with a segment that focused on Hispanic Heritage Month and a couple of schools that serve primarily a Hispanic population. Now we're talking with two schools that are primarily serving the African-American community here in Chicago, St. Sabina Academy, part of St. Sabina Catholic Parish, and Seton Academy, a high school of about 400, primarily African-American with a growing Hispanic population. You've created a partnership where Seton Academy has given laptops and helped with the technological advancement of St. Sabina Academy. What's next? You know, what besides handing over this hardware is going to characterize this relationship between the two schools?
Well, it was our hope and expectation that, you know, it's not just, as you said, not just passing out the laptops and saying, okay, Helen, here you go.
And God bless you.
Yeah. Right. But in fact, that we continue with professional development, that we already had one segment where all the teachers at St. Sabina Academy came to Seton Academy during our first week of school. They were able to see our students in classes, and they had lunch and went through a laptop training with our technology director, Fred Reynolds. And Fred has really been excited about this partnership. Gives him an opportunity to really you know, get down and dirty with the laptops and really, you know, teach. And he loves that. You know, loves to teach what the laptop can do. The possibilities are endless. And so we're going to continue with professional development. We'll have training at the St. Sabina Academy and as well as Seton Academy. So, and we'll also have faculty get-togethers with our staff. You know, we have about 35 to 40 teachers. We'll have get-togethers at our, you know, at Seton Academy as well as at St. Sabina.
See, that was going to be my question from Roberto. It was a great summary. You know, Helen, here you receive these laptops, all this technology from Seton Academy. Now, with your faculty, there has to be teaching, ongoing education, because I'm assuming some of your teachers come from a background, you know, like I come from a background with a number two pencil. I thought an electric typewriter was a big thing, you know, I'd advanced to that. So how has it been received by the faculty with laptops and technology training? What's been your experience so far, Helen?
It's just real exciting. For one of the things, Fred Reynolds, who's the technology coordinator at Seton, is just so excited, so enthusiastic. Our technology coordinator, Marilyn Hunter, she and Fred are just on the phone with each other constantly, and she's like a tech person. She's awesome also. But our teachers, like we have one teacher who would leave just about when school let out last year every day. Now, in the evening, I see her sitting there with the laptop, and she's every day she just says, I love it, I love it. And she says, when I go home, you know, I practice some more on it. But we're able to do so many things. We're converting our attendance over from the little paper slips to sending the attendance to the office where we can keep, you know, better records for reports and things that we need to fill out. The teachers are using it. A lot of teachers are advanced in technology, some of the younger teachers, and they want to do, you know, internet and projection of things on the internet. So it's enabling everybody. Instead
and these of children eat all this up then?
Oh, they love it. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell the teachers all the time, kids today, they're fast paced. They can't listen
to
lectures.
They're way ahead of their parents in the area of technology, right? Because we were not taught this the way they're being taught this right now.
Here's a nitty gritty question. With the obvious rising costs of education, needing to keep up with technology, and those rising costs obviously impacting tuition costs, how do you maintain your schools as viable? You know, it must become increasingly difficult for parents to keep up with the rising tuition, and you're constantly dealing with having to recruit new kids. How do you go about that? What maintains the viability of each of your institutions?
Well, I think for the high school at Seton Academy, what it is marketing is definitely very important, and you know, the securing of funds, external funds. We have a brand new vice president of institutional advancement. Her name is Lisa Jones, and in Lisa's short time at Seton Academy, she's done a wonderful job of just you know, the terms of the marketing and bringing money into the school that we didn't have at this time last year. Our website has been revamped. It's going very, very well. But those are the types of things that we need to do. We need to continue to send the message out to the community that Catholic education is a worthwhile investment.
Amen.
And I think how we do that is by graduating young men and women that show the rest of the community that we are not only seeking to empower our youth academically, intellectually, but spiritually as well. So graduating young men and women who can, who have the smarts, who have the wisdom, but also have the spiritual fortitude to keep moving forward and to be good representation of Catholic school education.
I've made it very clear to people that we must be different.
Absolutely.
We must. Our school, our Catholic school, is the faith-based education, and we must be different. So I want to thank in a very special way our guest this segment. We've had Roberto Torres, president of Seton Academy, and Helen Dumas, the principal of St. Sabina Academy, working together on a partnership in technology. Thank you very much for being with us here this morning. God bless the both of you. Keep up the great work. 312-751-1979. Stay with us on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. And again, do not touch that dial.
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552 or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Schools. Today I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Time is coming up on 9:42 on this beautiful Monday morning, rain expected later on. But just read the paper with the Bears and the White Sox and the Cubs all in first place, and it's a great month. And
God's in his heaven, all's well with the world.
That's right. Don't get to say that too often.
Except for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but they seem to be fixed up for a moment anyway.
That'll be another program. With us this segment on Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM, we have Mark Duhon, the Executive Director of HiSight. And HiSight is a non-profit organization that provides scholarships, tutoring, mentoring, and leadership development for students to attend and succeed at private high schools in Chicago. There are currently 138 students in 24 high schools who receive financial, academic, and social support from HiSight. The vast majority of HiSight scholars attend Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Mark Duhon, the Executive Director, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And how did this whole thing, HiSight, begin? What's the history?
The history is I and a few volunteers were volunteering over at St. Joe's Elementary School on Arlene Street, which is unfortunately now closed, and wanted to know what was happening to the students after they left that school. Unfortunately, in many instances, the ills of urban life were catching up to them, and we wanted to do something about that. And we thought that certainly education is obviously important, and continuing their Catholic education was important to these young people. So we actually interviewed 9 young people back in 1992 that told us the importance of why they wanted to continue on it as a Catholic school, and HiSight was born.
Were they students from St. Joe's at the time?
They were.
Let me back it up a little bit, Mark. What were you doing at the time? How did you get involved with St. Joe's as a volunteer? Who were these other guys who were involved with you?
All right. I was working at the University of Chicago and doing graduate work there, and volunteering at St. Joe's in a program that the parish and school started there. And we were just volunteering with the students, trying to have them see the importance of their education. An attorney, Karen Reardon, as well, and I then wanted to know what was happening to these eighth graders after, and founded HiSight. Went to the parish. The parish provided those resources available to us to at least meet. We went out and knocked on some doors to try to raise the funds to assist these students to continue their education.
Now, how did you then raise the money? When you went door to door talking to certain like business owners or friends?
Father, do you have some? That's honestly, that's how. Whoever we could ask is who we asked, and many of those folks gave.
So out of curiosity, Mark, what you were going for a degree at University of Chicago, a master's, correct?
Correct.
In what area?
Education.
In education. Yeah. And going for the MA or M.Ed. at University of Chicago, you were volunteering at St. Joe's. So what I find fascinating is here you are a graduate student at the University of Chicago in education. What prompted you even to move and go towards St. Joe's to do volunteering work?
Actually, I was doing the volunteer work before starting school, if you will. So there was a few years there. I was still working at the University of Chicago at the time. What prompted me? Inequality in education, realistically. Hmm. Being a white male and understanding that, I think, growing up in a city that had segregation as well, that was really the catalyst in doing so. Obviously, my upbringing, too, of the importance and the values that I got out of Catholic education for 12 years, I thought were a catalyst for that.
Now, this was back in Ohio.
Yeah, this was back in Ohio, right. And even being a scholarship recipient myself in high school, as I tell the kids I work with now, my high school was $800 my freshman year, and my family could not afford $800. I go, yeah. Now there's times when your parents walk around with $800 in their pocket.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that, you know, as in so many people, in so many ways, your life experiences lead you to do things that might make the world a better place. And that's what we were trying to do.
So really, I'm looking at you and thinking to myself, you had so many options with your life, even in education, but somehow living out the gospel, especially with those who have less.
Yes.
You know, the ones that are poor and those that just cannot do it on their own. And here you are stepping forward when you could have taken so many different ways in your life, but truly living out the gospel message of Jesus.
And the others who were volunteering with you, were they also U of C grad students?
No, they were not.
How did they become
involved? We actually met through St. Joe's.
Okay.
So the parish did a great job of recruiting young people to assist those in the school that many who are on scholarship. Many who at the time came from Cabrini-Green. It was massively different back in the early 90s than it is now. And just wanted to assist them in understanding the importance of education.
It strikes me, Greg, that young guys like Mark and the other volunteers would have been the people you would have been trying to recruit to the seminary.
Exactly.
Previous era would have been seminarians. Mm-hmm. But now they're active lay people working in the business world and still making a major contribution.
See, if someone like Mark had been here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, one of our Catholic high schools, from 85 to 92, I was a vocation director, it's exactly guys like Mark I would have gone after and said, you would have made a terrific priest. And somehow
you sound like my mom.
Mark, are you doing this work
full time?
Your mom
sounds like my mom.
Yeah, for since April, we did it for a couple years voluntarily, and we just didn't have the financial resources or necessarily the need to make it a full-time program. But since April of 94, I've been doing it full-time. We now have five full-time staff people. We have an elementary school program that through the school year works with 100 students, in addition, 150 in the summer. So there's a lot of programs that have surrounded that, and even some foundations that have come to us and saw the success we've had with kids who otherwise wouldn't go to college.
Yeah.
You know, 95% of our students are enrolling in college and going to school and coming back and volunteering and getting great jobs. And, you know, we feel that it's important, you know, when you're spending $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 to get a Catholic high school education, it's worth it if you go do something with it.
So right now, Mark, you have 138 students in 24 different high schools.
Correct.
Who have received financial scholarships, tutoring, mentoring, all through HiSight.
Correct.
And your money in this nonprofit organization is where you go out and ask individuals or businesses to contribute to HiSight.
Correct.
And in turn, then the money is divvied out to these children. So this is, and this has become for you, this is now your full-time job, ministry, life's calling.
Yes, it is.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sakowicz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our guest, Mark Duhon, Executive Director of HiSight, will come back 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Do you want to experience freedom, happiness, love, and romance without regrets? Then come hear Jason Everett speak at the Life Night 4 Youth Rally on Sunday, September 14th, at St. Francis of Rome School in Cicero, starting at 4 p.m. The evening will include Jason's powerful message, music by Sal Solo, free food, and much more.
The Life Night 4 Youth Rally is for high school students and mature 8th graders. For more information and to pre-register, please call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355, or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. Sponsored by the Respect Life Office, Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry, and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center of Chicago. So again, please join us on Sunday, September 14th at St. Francis of Rome School, starting at 4 p.m. to hear Jason Everett, because
we deserve pure love.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking with Mark Duhon about HiSight, a not-for-profit organization that helps provide scholarships for disadvantaged youth to attend private schools, many of them going to some of our Catholic high schools in the city. Mark, tell us a little bit about how you recruit students. How do you pick a kid to give a scholarship to, and how do they find you? How do they know about this program?
Well, first off, I think when you're, if you will, giving money away, people find you somehow.
That's true.
Over the last few years, though, we received 275 applications from 8th graders throughout the city. Those students attending both Catholic elementary schools as well as public schools here that want to go to a good private high school. We actually interview about 80 of those students in the select a class of 40, roughly right around there each year. How they find us and what we're looking for. We're looking for a good kid from a good family who wants to be a great person.
Archdiocese of Chicago?
One of the requirements is when they start with us, they must live in the city. Yes, correct.
And
attend a day school.
Okay, what are some of the schools they are presently attending right now?
Our largest school, we have over 30 students at both the boys and girls campus at De La Salle. St. Scholastic is another big school for us. Holy Trinity, St. Ignatius, but certainly all the day
schools. You also mentioned Notre Dame, about three or four boys.
Yes, we have a few there as well. And then there's a number of schools that we have two, three, four students. Mother Macaulay on the south side, we have
now, do these students somehow stay in contact with you? I mean, is there somehow you want to know how they're doing?
They see us three times a week.
Those four boys from Notre Dame High School see you, not you personally, but part of your staff, three or four times a week.
Correct.
They drive down to your office or something?
Yeah, take the train, drive down.
And what are they doing three, four times a week seeing you?
We're trying to, in many instances, or in some instances, the students we're working with aren't as prepared as they need to be to take full advantage of what that school has to offer. They might be a good student, but we want them to really excel and qualify for college scholarships.
So this is tutorial work you're doing when
Correct.
They see you.
Correct. So we have a library type of atmosphere. In addition, from freshman year all the way to senior year, we're heavily coaching them to get to college and what those steps need to be. Obviously, for a senior, it's different than what we would be doing with a freshman. But we'll have workshops from essay writing to ACT preparation to leadership development. Our summers are extremely busy. You know, a lot of folks say, oh, you take the summer off. And we have five or six good programs that our students actually participate in. And we have independent programs. We had students this year go to Notre Dame. Boy went to China this year and spent 6 weeks in China and Tanzania and West Africa, and through programs that we hook up with and those students qualify for. One of the reasons we do it is obviously for the experience, but in addition, it makes the college application process a little easier.
You know, Mark, you mentioned earlier about the inequities in education.
Yes.
I was never so aware of it as recently when Reverend Meeks staged the boycott, because I always had assumed that public education was equally funded, so that, you know, the state gave money to all the different school systems. And what I realized throughout this whole process is that even public education is tuition-driven in a way, because it's funded by the taxes.
Right.
So if you're rich, you pay more taxes, but that's just another form of tuition.
Correct.
So that public education really is inequitable. Because
it's not equally distributed.
Exactly. If you're in a poor neighborhood, the taxes are lower because the homes are not as good and the people don't have as much money. And so there are...
So less funding goes into that public
available.
School.
My daughter had a classmate. She taught in a public school. And I couldn't believe – I thought my daughter was exaggerating. She said that her friend literally brought toilet paper to the school because there wasn't enough toilet paper for the kids. I thought, well, how could this be? It's a public school.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Well, I think, one, we certainly have to look at those things. I also think – personally, that there should be more private funding going to Catholic schools and private schools.
Amen.
Because our tuition is getting quite expensive.
Right. And I'm not even talking about the voucher system. I'm just talking about foundations that fund public school programs. And I personally think that we're letting our legislators get out a little bit. When a foundation of XYZ funds a program at a public school for $1 million or so, because we have to make tough decisions then if the dollars aren't there for toilet paper, you know.
Now, Mark, we're running out of time. I want to make sure anybody who is listening says, wow, I'd like to make a contribution to Mark Duhon's not-for-profit organization called HiSight. Give us a phone number that they could call you.
Yeah, they can call me directly, too, 312-787-9824.
That number once again.
312-787-9824.
And a web?
Website is hisight.org. That's www.hisight.org.
And the thing is, and this is a non-for-profit, presently 138 students in 24 different high schools that you are directly assisting, that if they didn't have HiSight, would be in another school with probably a slim to medium to no chance for a college education.
Correct. A report just came out a few years ago that 8% of CPS students that start as freshman year graduate from college.
8%.
Okay.
Wow.
8%. And at HiSight, we're all rolling 95. Now, all those students don't go to graduate from college, but over 50% do. And that's amazing.
We need to bring this to a close. We'd like to thank in a special way Mark Duhon, Executive Director of HiSight, for his incredible, insightful work that he's doing. You're doing great ministry work
thank
for the
you.
Archdiocese, for the gospel. I want to thank in a very special way Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, for co-anchoring beautifully today. And special thanks to our producer, Ryan Blackburn, co-producer Jasmine Kiddos, and our engineer Michael May, for their wonderful, outstanding work. To all our listeners here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, thank you, God bless, and have a wonderful week.
Yeah, go Bears.
Go Bears. Oh, I forgot to go Bears.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.